It's time for Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Laker Hockey Talk is brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. And now with Laker Hockey Talk, here's the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford, on ESPN 1400.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is Bill Crawford, along with the head coach of the Lakers, Damon Whitten. Another Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. And Damon, team off to Alabama Huntsville this weekend, and we'll preview that series. It's not going to be easy. Nothing is in this league, but that's a team that's coming off a win and a shootout loss with Anchorage at home last weekend. And a team that suddenly has become kind of a force in the league. They got seven seniors in their lineup these days, and that's kind of a new game for Alabama Huntsville.
Yeah, they're kind of in the meat of their roster from that rebuild when Mike Corbett went in there a couple years back, or a handful of years back at this point. And Mike's done a good job. You know, it's a tough place in some areas to get some talent and get it up there because of a newer history and a lack of history like we have here at Lake State. So now into year six, like you mentioned, they're led by some seniors and some juniors that are giving them some good experience. They've been around the league for a long time now, and had a good opening weekend at home with good crowds at home. So it's a longer trip for sure, and it's a little bit different when you get there because it's 60 degrees and warm, and you kind of say, where the heck are we? But after that trip's complete, once you're there. It's no different than any other city. Just the logistics of getting out of town are a little bit different. But beyond that, like you said, it's another road trip. And, it's a good hockey team. I thought on film they looked really good against Anchorage. Their power play is like something ridiculous, 40-some percent, which is unheard of, 6-8 games into the WCHA slate. So some really good weapons, starting with Kurt Goslin on the back end, a junior defenseman. They're good. They're a good hockey team. And we've got to have everybody ready to play in all facets of the game. We obviously have not done that enough this year, and it'll be another chance to do that here this weekend.
Yeah, we've been going there for a number of years now, and I've always been impressed with the weather and where they are and the city itself. Their rink leaves a little bit to be desired, but you'd think a lot of young guys up in Canada and northern part of the states would just love to go play hockey there.
Yeah, it's not a bad spot, January, February, for a hockey player. And, all these southern pro teams now, a lot of guys have figured that out. Playing in the south is not a bad thing. And I definitely think that when they get kids down on campus and, like I said, fly somebody in from Edmonton or Trail, British Columbia in January, February, it's a pretty nice place to be. So, they've done a good job there of upgrading their talent, and again, really into where they thought they'd be 5-6 years. So they'll see if they can kind of keep climbing the ladder here a little bit. And we've got to go down there and again be aware of some of their high end players who have been very good to start the year. We're still, again, I thought defensively 5-on-5, we've improved. We're cutting down our goals against 5-on-5, and that's giving us a chance. And we've got to continue to do that. And obviously Saturday against Bowling Green, it was a special teams that did us in. But 5-on-5 again, we want to make sure we're giving them minimum chances and only a goal or two, and then keep it a tight game on the road.
Yeah, we've had tough times this year on Saturday nights. We've only scored 7 goals. We pointed this out on the Laker Hockey Show on Tuesday night, but that's not enough. We need more production there. It seems like we put so much effort into games on Friday night. We're always in them. We've lost a couple of shootouts, etc., but we've won the games we've won on Friday night, and Saturday's just a tough game for us, and I think it's probably because we kind of short shift guys. We use the same lines over and over again. We wear guys out, killing penalties, power play, etc. We got to figure out a way to somehow spread that out more and have a little more life on Saturday night.
Yeah, certainly be better there. And I maybe some of those pieces there. And again, we haven't been far. You go back to like the Northern Michigan game Saturday night. It's a tie game, and we give up a goal, an untimely goal that hurts us. And same with Michigan Tech Saturday night. So it's some consistency in some areas, whether it's by a position group or by a unit like a power play or penalty kill. Penalty kill was very good early on up until that Michigan State series, and then it's been sour for a little bit there. And once again, we are good Friday and close them down. They get one late Saturday. Just finding that consistency, like you said. Obviously our depth is tested a little bit right now with the injuries and the guys we have out, so that does make it challenging in some facets and areas of the game. But even BG, it was more the special teams than anything, 5-on-5 or things like that. So I think we do need to score more, obviously, as you pointed out, but I don't think it's any major issue beyond settling in and getting that offense and buckling down also defensively. offensively. But, you know, again, consistency across our team, you know, we need it from all position groups. We need it from all players. And we haven't had that. That's my job and it falls on me ultimately. So I want to make sure, you know, the guys who are in, the guys who are playing everywhere across the board in all situations are ready to play and putting, you know, not only 60 minutes together, but a full weekend together. And that's something we haven't done at a high enough level.
Yeah, you got a long bus trip here too. You get on a sleeper bus, go all night, get ready to play. Once you settle in, it's like you said earlier, it's any other series. It's the same way. You'll have a practice on Thursday. You'll have a skate on Friday morning before you play Friday night. So everything becomes familiar then. But boy, that's a long bus trip down there. And I think the guys probably sleep pretty well. I think it's tougher on the staff than it is on the players. But and then you turn around, you come home. Thank goodness we do play at home the next 3 weekends.
Yeah, finally. It seems like it's been forever, so I think our guys are excited about that. And, yeah, it's not too bad the way the trip works out, you know, loading up late at night there, and you basically get your night's rest on the bus. It's not, you know, maybe ideal because you don't get a true night's sleep, and that's tough after coming off Bowling Green as well, where we had a disrupted sleep pattern. If you look at some of the, you know, NBA, NHL teams, sleep habits are so important. There's a lot of teams that don't travel post-game a lot these days. They want to get their players back to the hotel and get that quality 6 to 8 hours of sleep that, you know, everybody needs, but certainly athletes at this level. So, you know, we're trying to make sure we can do what we can. It's tough to stockpile sleep. It doesn't really work that way. But it's just the nature of our league and then our geographic footprint. So we'll go down there and, you know, made our adjustments early this week to try to catch up on some rest. And again, when we come home, we'll do the same thing with the Thanksgiving break looming. We have classes Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, so we'll work in some bit of a non-traditional days or some off days to kind of catch up, and then we have the one game weekend Saturday versus the national program on the 25th, I believe it is, and so that'll hopefully get us caught back up and ready to go.
Yeah, let's talk about that one for just a moment while we're on the subject too. That's a big weekend. You're not normally going to draw well for the under 18s. That's the national development team program. The 17-year-olds will come in here. They're very, very good, though. They're certainly worth seeing, and I think Dave Pateson's done a great job, the athletic director, in coming up with this $13 ticket. Bring your entire family. It's a holiday weekend. Be a lot of people in town who aren't normally around. They come home for the holiday. They can come out and see the Lakers play. It's a 5 p.m. start. We want to remind everybody of that, too, on Saturday night, the 25th. $13 gets your entire family in the door that night. That's great. I think that's a really good idea.
Yeah, you can't beat that in terms of you know, some time with your family, and it's a good time too. It's not late at night, so we thought it would really work well for families to spend a little bit more time together, come out, enjoy a hockey game. We do have a post-game skate for anybody who wants to bring their skates, or certainly our young fans in the area want to get out and meet the team and skate with the team. So we thought it'd be you know, a really good family event, and like you said, Dave has done a good job, and Hunter with promoting that and putting that together to get our community out for that game. And like you said, you know, those guys that we're playing, there's going to be a lot of first-round NHL draft picks and draft picks all throughout the draft, but some really high-end talent. It's always, you know, kind of an interesting game in a lot of ways, but a lot of talent in that team, so it'll be an exciting game of hockey.
Yeah, they've been beating Division I teams with regularity this season. They've lost a few, too, but they've really cleaned up on USHL teams, and they've not done as well in international competition as I thought they might, but boy, you come out and see these guys play, you're going to see at least a half dozen NHLers in that lineup, and they're not going to play in the NHL right away, but down the road, they're going to be in the big time.
Yeah, and some, like I said, some high end guys, a lot of first round picks. So yeah, they're a loaded team this year. One of the best crops that they've had in a while here, as you mentioned, they've done great in the USHL. I'm not sure in past years they've won this many college games as they have early on. Usually, as they, you know, progress throughout the season and kind of get used to the strength and size of the older players at the NCAA level, they start doing better. But they've come out of the gates beating college teams, and that's pretty surprising to see. So another big test, and you know, fun weekend to have those guys up to play against that kind of skill set and have that environment. My guess is too it'll be a very well attended weekend in terms of NHL scouting. So you know, our guys too will want to make sure they're ready to play. There'll be a lot of important people in that building to watch those guys in their draft years.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting weekend. The 25th, it's a Saturday, 5 p.m. start against the under 18s. Again, $13 gets you and your entire family into that exhibition hockey game. Then we're staying at home for a couple of weeks. That'll be kind of fun. First 2 weeks in December, we'll play Alaska, and then we'll take on a very good Minnesota State team at home before we go to Michigan Tech and then break for Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, hey, thank goodness we're home. It feels like it's, you know, we have three home games, I think, so far, and almost to December. So it's been challenging that way, and I think the guys feel it. I know I feel it. So it would be nice to kind of get a little bit more established of home schedules and get some of the travel out of our way. So it will be nice to finally return home and stack up some games there. You know, Alaska's had some good wins early on. Mankato's been, you know, very, very good, a very high-powered roster and talent all throughout there. And I think preseason favorite to win the WCHA. So some more big games there. And with the way we finish on the road again in, you know, late in the season in February, you know, those are big games. We have to have points there. And, you know, even this weekend, obviously getting on the road, like we have to go down and get at least 3 points minimum. And again, that's the sole focus going on Friday night. Win a hockey game, you know, have a good road presence, play a heavy game, and give ourselves a chance to win that Friday night game. And then you rest, recover, and then come back at it Saturday night.
Yeah, it's going to be good to be home those first two weekends in the month of December. And then in January, we have a couple of more home series. But boy, this schedule is certainly a road loaded against Lake Superior State. The whole month of February, you're gone. You're going to play early in February at Bemidji. Then you go up to Alaska, which is a tough test, especially at that time of year. And then we'll go to Ferris State to finish it out. It's not great for establishing a home crowd because the fans get cheated out of anything in the month of February. And we knew that going in. But this has been a tougher schedule even than I thought it was when I first saw it.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me too now, you know, that we're through some of it too. And I know talking to people around town, we've had very little presence, you know, with only three home games early on. So I agree that we're a little bit out of sight, out of mind here. And that's tough to gain momentum and traction. And then certainly, you know, you want to win the games you're at home and take advantage of those playing in front of your home fans. And we haven't done a good enough job there as well. So it has been, you know, a challenging start. There's no question about it. We had a fan ask, you know, Tuesday night at the radio show, do you change your coaching approach? And I thought that was an interesting, you know, way to frame it. And I think, you know, we certainly have an idea of the way we want to play and our identity as a team. But I think, you know, no matter if you're winning or losing, you're always trying to examine best practices and you're stealing from guys, whether at our level or NHL. And so you're always, you know, having that reflection on what you're doing. And part of that for us has been the injuries. You know, we're looking at our off ice, we're looking at our conditioning, our preseason, you know, and we've kind of had things all over the map. It hasn't been consistent. And it's not all shoulders or all knees. They've been all over the map there. So, you certainly question, you know, what your approach is and if we're doing the right thing here. And it's really changed our practices too. We have not been able to go out and, you know, have a real high compete level in practice because we're so banged up, we're so injured, and you're really concerned about losing anybody else. You know, last week we practiced with only five healthy defensemen. You know, and didn't know really until we left and got down to Bowling Green that we'd be able to dress 6D. And so it is. It makes you really change a lot of your approach and the things we're doing here. And I think that's tough. You know, if you don't go out and practice hard all week and compete hard and heavy all week, Friday night comes along and all of a sudden you expect the guys to be ready to compete at a game level. And it's not fair to your players. But, you know, again, we lose more guys and we don't even have a full lineup. So it's been challenging that way. And it's been, you know, the positive is a lot of guys have played in situations that'll help them down the road, and as we return guys to health, you know, we should you know, be better off because of it, but it's certainly challenging when you're in the middle of it.
All right, you're listening to Laker Hockey Talk on a Thursday morning, and we'll be right back with more talk after this on ESPN 1400.
Everybody knows that H&R Block is the premier tax preparation group in the nation, but did you know that H&R Block offers year-round bookkeeping and business services that will help your small business cut costs, make profits, and streamline the business end of operations? From payroll and bookkeeping to expert tax prep and advice, see the friendly folks at H&R Block on I-75 Business Spur in the Michigan Sioux. Call 635-5970. Put H&R Block to work on your small business. You'll be glad you did. H&R Block wishes the Hockey Lakers success in 2017-18.
Hi, this is Scott from Parker Ace Hardware. At Ace, we make painting a simple pleasure. Ask one of our friendly, knowledgeable Ace associates about our Ace Royal Paint, a high-quality paint at a price you'll love. You'll find Ace Royal Paint starting at an everyday low price of just $19.99 a gallon. It's another reason why, from a simple start to a fabulous finish, Parker Ace can help make your next painting project perfect. Parker Ace, the helpful place. Stop by Parker Ace Hardware. We're looking forward to serving you real soon.
Stop by Parker Ace Hardware at 819 Ashman, downtown Sioux, Michigan.
And now back to Coach Witten and Bill Crawford for more Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
Welcome back to Laker Hockey Talk. Bill Crawford along with Damon Witten and the second half of our show here this morning. It's a Thursday morning in the month of November, and we talked a little bit about injuries. Let's update that, Damon. We're missing some good hockey players. Lucas Caubel's still out. He's going to be out for a while. Colin Sackleman, those are two very good defensemen. They'd be in there every game seeing regular action. Puts a lot of stress on the players who can play at this point, and also creates a situation for you as a coach where you can't go at it hard in practices, and you really can't make any decisions where you could say, hey, somebody's not playing so well, I think he should sit and roll 12 tonight and watch a game. You can't do it. You can't have everybody in the lineup.
Right, exactly. And so, and you know, and I think, I don't think our players are coasting guys who are healthy and I think they're working hard and they're not taking advantage of the situation. Like you're saying, like, well, hey, the coach can't do anything. So, we've worked well through it. But again, we've had to change our approach for a lot the way we like to try to, you know, mimic a game situations, 50-50 battles, compete level. And I think we're just so worried about more injuries that we've really had to change our approach the way we want to do it. And maybe that's a good thing. It might make us healthy and a little bit more fresh on the weekends. But as you mentioned, those guys are still weeks away. Yuki Miura still weeks away. So it's a challenge that way. But again, some guys have gotten some really good experience that they wouldn't get otherwise. I think Colin and Lucas, you know, were both certainly among our top four defensemen since the season started. Lucas was leading our D-core in scoring. Both power play guys, both penalty kill guys. So it's really had a ripple effect in terms of, you know, special teams and all situations there. But, you know, we, again, our power plays continue to do a good job through those injuries. Our penalty kill has been a little bit up and down. Certainly a guy like Colin Sackleman, who led the nation in block shots or top three or so last year, is a key guy that's missing there. But you have to work through it. That's the situation we're dealt. It's an opportunity for some other guys to emerge and step up. And we'll continue to try to develop those guys and work through this situation.
Yeah, it's a tough situation. If you were to go to Huntsville and take Goslin out of their lineup or take Saulnier or any of their young guys up front that they have, because they don't have great depth either, they'd be in big trouble. And that's kind of, we're fighting through this thing right now, trying to win hockey games and a tough schedule hurting us as well. So we just have to be ready this weekend. Those games will come your way at 8 o'clock both nights from Huntsville, Alabama. That's a central time zone. Keep that in mind. And Matt Pocket's going to be there to provide the play-by-play for you on both those games. We'll be back when the team plays against the under-18s on the 25th of this month. Doesn't get any easier. How about the recruiting end of things? We talked about this on Tuesday night, Damon, and people always want updates on recruiting. They want to know who you're bringing in and who signed a letter of intent. It is that time of year when we can sign in the fall. I know you've signed one young man already for the future, and he doesn't have to come in next year, but he signed with the Lakers, so his NLI will bind him to Lake Superior State. Do we have other players who are bound to us right now who we could bring in next season?
Yeah, we do. I mean, the way it's worked, I mean, today's world is so hard with the early departures, and that's why you see some guys sign and then deferred, because you never really know your roster, you know. And even coming into this year, you know, we thought Mitch we'd have back probably as a junior, certainly Chris Bendoulis as a sophomore, and, you know, Hedrick and Morgan, you know, those were all young guys that you anticipate being back on your roster. And so you try to plan as best you can, and I think that has hurt us a little bit. Again, you can't go spend their money that you think is already tied up, and not only money, but space and role. So that's been challenging that way. But, you know, I would like to be better prepared in the future for when those things happen, because it seems like it happens to most teams most years. But yeah, Louis Bedoyan just signed this current signing period, and we'll have a release out shortly on that. We might have one other one come in with only JT Hankey, our lone senior forward, and the three senior defensemen. That's not a big class that we anticipate bringing in. But Louis will join a few other guys who've already signed, a guy like Ashton Calder, who everybody here in Sault Ste. Marie knows. Ashton's off to a great start in Lincoln in the USHL. He's he had a little bit of an injury, I think two or three weeks ago, and missed some time, but he leads his team in a point per game basis and is second or third overall with the missed games. But very good start for Ashton, so that's great to see. You know, guys like Mike Manera is in Omaha. He's a Toronto defenseman that's signed a year or two ago, and Mike should be coming in the back end next year. Chase Pulowski's another guy in the USHL, and you know, those guys are slated to join us. But again, you always kind of see, you know, and who knows up front, you know, what'll happen, or guys that might have opportunities to sign or move on. So we got a guy like Owen Guy is signed as well. He's having a very good year up in Ottawa. I know I'm missing a couple guys as well, but you know, those are some of the names that we'll deal with and figure out the moving pieces. You know, again, with only JT leaving, it should only be, you know, one, two, maybe three forwards at most, to hopefully, unless there's some surprises and some departures that way. And again, in the back end, you know, Ruggiero becomes eligible before too long. I think we'll have seven returning, so, you know, one or two defensemen to be around that eight or nine mark. And you know, that should really be do it, should take care of our current roster. You kind of brought up, you know, what else we're looking for, you know, right shot defenseman down the road as Matty McArdle exits in a year or two, and Colin Sockerman in a year or two. We'll need to replenish that right side of our decor with the right shot. So those are there's a couple of guys we're dealing with that way.
Yeah, you're good in goaltending right now. We're thinking Roman Bengert's going to be fine for seasons to come if he doesn't become eligible this year. Yet he's the third goaltender right now. And you got two young ones there, or at least relatively young. Nick will be a senior next year, but you've got Merrick Mittens coming back for his sophomore year next year. So goaltending, you're okay. Louis Benoit now, where is he playing at this time, and what position does he play?
Yeah, Louis is a centerman or a forward playing for the Northeast Generals in the North American League. I don't know where he's at this weekend. They were off, actually, but I think it was, you know, top two or three going into the weekend. He's a good skater. He's very skilled. Probably a little bit more of a setup and a pass-first guy, although he can finish and score, and that was kind of what we were waiting to see on a little bit, is what his finish ability was. And after a little bit of a slow start in terms of goals, he picked it up and was showing some good finish. He probably should have, I don't know, 6 to 8, maybe 10 more goals, a couple posts, and didn't finish a little bit early on as he adjusted to the league. But yeah, good player. And actually, he's from Rich's wife's hometown back in France originally. He came over to the States last year and played. Really, nobody knew him. You know, he's a French kid. Not a lot of French kids coming over, like the Finnish and the Swedes, things like that. So he was a little bit under the radar as he got over last year, played a little bit of a lower level, and then kind of got seen a little bit more and developed. Is off to a great start, and we'll see where he ends up this year and then possibly next year, whether he comes in or is off to the USHL type thing. But very, very impactful offensive guy, and obviously we need more of that. You always like to have that.
Sounds good. You'll give us another Frenchman to go with Anthony Nellis, who will be a senior next year. And Anthony's been a really good player for Lake Superior.
Yeah. So a good player there, and Anthony obviously out of Ottawa there. But it's interesting the different dynamics you get, and you're players are your best recruiters. And, you know, one of the guys that we're dealing with, and we're in the mix with one or two other schools or two or three other schools, he shared a billet with one of our current freshmen. So there's a connection there. You know, the freshman's one of our European players, but they have this billet and connection. So they're talking all the time now because of that connection. And another guy knows him from, an all-star team at some point. So your players are your best recruiters for sure. And so obviously it's important, that they like what we're doing here in terms of style of play, the way they're treated, our fans, our community. And so, there's no secrets in this world. All these kids are connected, you know, whether it's social media or they've got friends or advisors, whatever it is, they all know each other in today's world. So, we really lean on our players a lot to make sure that they're representing our program in a positive light, and that they, love Sault Ste. Marie and Lake Superior State University.
I think another important thing when it comes to recruiting is that fans should understand that there are certain numbers of scholarships here. There's only 18 you can spread out amongst all these players. It's not like we could go out this year and say, hey, we need more offense on this team. Let's bring eight guys in next year who could all score and see who the best player is. The only way you could do that would be to take scholarship money away from somebody who's here now, which we don't ever want to do unless we absolutely have to, and we've very rarely done that in the past, in order to create the money you would need to bring in a player. Guys want half scholarship, three quarters, full.
Sure.
You
got
to work with that.
Yeah, well, and if you're going to get an impactful, a guy that's a high-end guy, that's a recruiting battle, you're going to have to invest and spend in that player to match other teams' offers and things like that. But no, you're exactly right. It's essentially our salary cap. You know, those of you who follow pro sports, we have a salary cap of 18 scholarships, and we carry, I think, 28 to 29 guys. So as you go around our locker room, each guy might be on a different level, but you can't go above your cap, and that's true for any team in the NCAA, be beyond the Ivy Leagues who don't offer athletic scholarships. So no different, you know, from Michigan, North Dakota, whatever, you know, Northern Michigan. We all have 18 scholarships, and, you know, you try to spend your money wisely, just like the Detroit Red Wings or the Rain, whoever it is. You have to be very aware of your scholarship situation and what you have available and what you can spend. And sometimes those, you know, those guys who don't come in that are signed, that's part of it as well. You know, when you don't end, when you think maybe somebody is going to sign, all of a sudden they're back, then that changes, you know, your cap availability, what you have available to bring guys in. So it's always a changing dynamic and an interesting thing. And, you know, something that you have to look at and balance. And that's why we kind of project out 4 or 5 years. But all of a sudden, you know, like I said, the Capitals call, they sign Bendoulis, and you have to change at a moment's notice and be ready to do that.
Well, it's interesting. I think this is a major subject matter for a future Laker hockey show, if not Laker Hockey Talk, because it's interesting, and it's where we are, and it's how you have to deal with things. A lot of people will say, why do you have 8 or 9 forwards that you've signed to NLIs when you're not going to bring them all in at once? You've got them staggered there, like a Calder signed more than a year ago. He could come in next year. We could hold them off another year even, you know, and I'm not saying we're going to, but that's just the way it is. Everybody has to play that game now. You got to kind of map it out so you've got your 18 fulls and you've got what you need for a given season, and you got to deal with defections and
right.
and surprises and people turning pro, et cetera.
Well, and our list is short. You know, there are a couple websites that track NCAA hockey commitments, and you go to a couple schools and, you know, there's no way they can bring in their guys. Some schools have over 30 guys committed, 28 guys. Like it's a crazy world, but you know, otherwise everybody's committed early on. So you do, but in our conversation with our recruits is, you know, obviously we want to be honest with our players and be upfront with them. We talk about being over ready. You know, when you're over ready, it's a big step from any junior hockey league. I don't care where you're coming from. You're going to come in, play against older bodies, more mature physically, you know, stronger players. You have to be over ready. And certainly when you're talking about guys on big scholarships or guys who are going to be that you figure to be impact players, we tell them, like, we're recruiting you and offering you a scholarship because we expect you to be maybe a top six forward or top four defensive. So if you're struggling in your junior season and just being okay, you're a fifth defenseman in whatever team you're on, well, how do you in the world do you expect to come in here and be a top four and do that? So, you know, if you're not over ready, we're probably going to ask you to play another year so that when you do come in, you're ready to step in and be a contributing piece of what we expect you to be when we went through the recruiting process. So for us, that's what it's mostly about, being over ready. And then sometimes that means you might have a true freshman. You know, you go out and you have a great, year and in Cedar Rapids, wherever it is, if you're over ready as a true freshman, then that's fine. We'll bring you in. We've had Owen Hedrick and Luke Morgan, a couple of young guys that came in. And so, you know, we've been both sides of it. And then part of it is also that space, you know, with only one senior forward, like you said, you can't bring in 5, 6 forwards. There's just not room on it. But all of a sudden JT leaves and then, you know, the next guy signs or, you know, somebody's not happy, they leave. Then all of a sudden you got 3 spots instead of 1 spot. So it's, you know, you're always dealing with it, and there's advisors involved, there's junior coaches involved, there's other teams that are, you know, one of our players that signed an NLI is the top freshman scoring defenseman in the country right now. So there's a lot of pieces that you're trying to juggle and handle and deal with, and you're kind of chuckling over there, Bill, and it's a crazy world, and especially when you have the advisors and the junior coaches. It's fun. You know, Mike's on the road right now recruiting, watching some really good hockey, seeing a couple of our committed players. I'm going to get a chance to get out next week. I think I will see every one of our guys in the USHL. So a really productive weekend for me to kind of check in with our guys and get some FaceTime with all of those guys who are committed to us playing out there. Obviously watching some guys who are still available as well. And then Rich will be out with me next weekend as well, or on his own, a different trip, but really covering some ground with just a single exhibition game. So it'll be a real productive time to get out and spend some time on the road.
Yeah, and there are some good names of good players that we haven't even mentioned here today. They either haven't signed an NLI yet, or we've kind of glossed over them here this morning because there are so many names to look at. But Lakers will try to build again in the future. That's always an interesting topic. We're way over time this morning on this show. Damon, good luck at Huntsville, and I think Mike York will be joining us on the hockey show next Tuesday night. Fans will want to tune that in from the Antlers, and that's another Laker Hockey Talk. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Have a great Thursday. Go Lakers.
All right, we'll be back next week on ESPN 1400.
You've been listening to Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400, brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. Join us again soon for another edition of Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie's sports leader.